This is a CKTZ News update. This year's Christmas bird count on Cortez Island took place on December 18th, with additional individual observations adding to the tally during the 3 days before and after the 18th. Local naturalist guide and committed birdwatcher George Cirque says the event has been coordinated by the Cortez Island Museum and Archive Society for 21 years. He says 54 bird species were identified this year, and conditions during this count were challenging. Very cold temperatures and strong winds. Cirque says he's been watching birds and keeping records on Cortez Island for 4 decades, but the event has really picked up speed with the museum's involvement.
The first count was in 2001, so there you go, 21 years.
Right.
It's quite a record. I didn't miss a single year all the way along. I did do the Christmas bird count in the distant past on my own, but the museum has been leading this charge to collect all these names of all these and the numbers of all these birds for 21 years.
And what was the format of this year's count?
We would divide the island up into big areas, and there would be a leader that would work through those areas with a group of birders. And so Squirrel Cove was divided as one area, Whale Town was another, south end of Cortez was another. And the actual count date, like you said, is the 8th, but we had these count periods, which is 3 days before and 3 days after. So we're also interested in finding out what other birds are on Cortez that we can't catch on that particular day. So it's actually very scientific. Great, because all the birds have to be verified. We can't have suddenly some strange bird and there's no picture and there's no field notes and the observer only says, I think that's what it was. We can't keep those records, but we keep the records that we do have, we know are all solid.
So it was actually really a week-long process. How many participants did you have?
We had 33 when you count the people that handed in their notes from home, like the bird feeders, right? We had 6 of those. And then the rest were people that joined the different groups. And here's the kicker. 2 people came over from Quadra Island and joined our count because on Quadra, they don't have a Christmas bird count. I don't know why, but they don't. So it was neat. They came from abroad.
Now, George, what were the conditions like during that week? I know it was rough around Christmas, but what was it on the day, the specific day that you had the big group gathered together? What were the conditions like?
For the people who were into the World Cup football, that was the day of the big game between Argentina and France. And I had said, I'm not going birdwatching until I finish seeing the results of this. And fortunately, it ended by about 9:30, so I could join the group. But that day was very cold. And it wasn't just because the temperature was 5 degrees below 0 Celsius, it was very windy, rather windy, as the English would say, anywhere from 15 to 20 knots, depends on where you were, which is like 20 to 25 kilometers an hour, 30 kilometers an hour. So it made all the coasts that were exposed to the northwest, like Smelt Bay, Manson's Landing, very difficult conditions, waves, wind. A, the birds aren't there because they don't want to be in that, and B, you can't see the birds that are out there because of all the waves, and then your wind is blowing your telescope around. I met the group at first down at Manson's, and they all looked like popsicles, the half a dozen people that were standing, because they'd already been there for an hour or so. But I was, of course, at home watching the World Cup. I was a bad boy.
Yeah. Now tell us, George, how many species were actually identified in this year's count?
We got 54 species, lowest number ever, and I attribute that to the weather. That means huge swaths of the island, we don't get to record the birds feeding, like in Smelt Bay, for instance, or Manson's, all the diving ducks that are out there. And so all the seabirds move then to the east coast, down here, Hollyhock, Cortez Bay, and then disperse also on Subtle Point to areas where we don't have any roads and you can't get to it. The wind affected the number of seabirds and also in the forest. So all the trees, especially again on the western side, are swaying and moving back and forth. Very difficult to spot birds and to hear them. Because 90% is it? Of my birding actually takes place with my ears. I hear something, oh, okay, that attracts me. Maybe I see it. Or I know the song or the call, and I can put that down. So if it's windy, we miss out. So the wind played a big factor in why we had so few individuals recorded and species. The highest number we've ever gotten is 70. So that's another 16 species. So there.
And what was the commonest bird on Cortez that you identified?
Commonest bird in the forest was the dark-eyed junco. Used to be called the Oregon junco if you have an old bird book. And what did I get? 700. We. It's not I get. What do I have in my notes here? 717. It's a lot. Highest ever. The next highest is 582. Average is like 436. So great. A good number of those. A lot of those came from feeders. But also because those small birds, they have the little black head, brownish back. They're quite small. They're smaller than a song sparrow. So they're only about 5 or 6 inches long. And they have the white tail flashes. I think people are quite familiar with these ones. They love bird feeders, right? And so in the wintertime, like most forest birds, they get into flocks. So if you find one, you know there's going to be a whole bunch of them together. And they do that, of course, for safety. So one spots a hawk coming, or a small falcon, they'll, and then everybody goes, and then safety in numbers.
Yeah. And, what about, George, what was the rarest bird that you recorded?
I'll get on to that. I just want to tell you about the commonest seabird, and that's the surf scoter. So we had 400 of them, 395, and they're the all black ones with the gorgeous multicolored bill and a big white on the forehead, on the back of the head. Here on Cortez, a really good place to see them is drive down to the boat launch at Cortez Bay, because it's quite, the water there is quite narrow, and they're often working there. They're mussel eaters, right? So they're, and clams. The rarest birds, there was two. On the actual count day, it was the greater yellowlegs, which is a type of sandpiper. It stands about 12 inches tall, has a long, about 3-inch bill, slightly upcurved, gray all over, and of course, bright yellow legs, like stilts hanging down. The legs themselves are like half the body's length, so they can wade around in the water. And that was in Whaletown Bay. And it'd been there for a little while. That group, they picked that one up, and then once Whaletown Bay froze up 2 days later, it left, right? And during the count period was the northern shrike. A shrike, that's a good word. Shrike. Yeah. Yeah, that's good for your Wordle. I was just counting the letters. It does have five, doesn't it?
No, I think that's six letters.
Oh, boy. Not so good with the math.
Okay.
Not so good with the math.
But what does this bird look like?
Okay, it's the towhees we have. They're quite a large sparrow.
Yeah, noisy.
Noisy. And blackhead and the rufous side. They're about 6-7 inches long. A shrike is just a little bit bigger than that. So 2/3 of the size of a robin, for instance. And they're pale gray all over with black on the wings. And when they fly, there's actually a white patch that comes out. But one of the striking features, or the striking feature, it has a black mask around its eyes like the Lone Ranger. And a gray head on, and the gray on the breast and everything. Gorgeous bird. And Ann Doerr got it at her place, at the old gravel pit there. Graham's gravel pit. And she had two witnesses. I was just talking to her today because I wanted to get her account. She says she has a bird feeder in front of her window, and suddenly all the birds dispersed, like I was telling you earlier. And in comes this basically black and white bird, and it lands nearby. And she gets her binoculars, and she knew of them. She'd never seen them before. And she put her binoculars on, and the two witnesses with her saw it too. No problem with identification. It's what they call a passerine. Sparrows, warblers, they're all passerines. They're called perching birds. Crows are passerines versus the other kinds, ducks, et cetera. And this passerine, so it's not like a hawk. A hawk is not a passerine. It's a raptor. This bird has a hooked bill, and it eats birds, small birds, like your crunchy juncos, right? And so it was trying to get one of the juncos, even though it's not a very big bird. Like, I think it was something just only a bit like a robin going after a junco. That's quite a feat, but it has a hooked bill, like a hawk. So here's convergent evolution. You have a passerine that's evolved to act like a hawk. And what it does is, if it has too much food, it impales its food on barbed wire or we have hawthorn here, impales it on the hawthorn, leaves it there. Nice, up in the bush, away from everybody else, hard for other creatures to get at it, and then goes off hunting and gets some more. And if it catches something else, so it can have a little midnight snack there.
Uh-huh. Stashes the food.
Yeah. It stashes the food. Okay. And another thing neat about that bird is that there's many species across the world. I'll just say maybe 20 to 30. We only have two in North America. This bird actually nests in northern Canada, like the high Arctic and Alaska. So then it comes down here in the wintertime and points south, right? Is the male impales all the food it can catch on its territory. So when the female comes along and says, "Wow, provider, and I like the looks of you, and I like how you can bring in the bacon." Yeah. And so he does it as a display to attract the female. Okay. Quite a neat bird.
Final question, George. Was there anything that really surprised you during this year's count?
The enthusiasm of Cortez people. Like I said, 40 years ago, I did the count basically by myself, right? And now we have 33 people getting involved. And now for 20 years, and then the museum, of course, taking the lead on organizing and all the emails, Gina there, yeah, all the work.
And they keep an archive of all the records, yeah, and data over the years.
And people can go to the Cortez Museum website and see what the numbers were in the past. The total number for this year of species was 2,427. And just looking back, the highest one we've ever gotten is 4,478. So 2,000 more birds.
Almost double.
Yeah. Almost double in the past.
What year was that, George?
That was the 2001.
Okay.
But in 2020, we had 4,093.
Okay.
So that's the thing that really surprised me and pleased me the most, is how many people really want to go out in that very cold day and go bird watching just for fun.
George Sirk, this has been fun. Thanks for speaking again with CKTZ News.
Greg Osoba, you are very welcome.
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.